Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Faith-Based Business Podcast today. We are so blessed you're joining us. Folks, this is going to be another great episode where faith meets real life in the most powerful ways. Today's guest is someone who flat out inspires me as I was getting ready for today's episode. Jenna Udenberg is a woman who's been rolling through life, literally, with more strength, purpose and impact than most folks standing on 2 feet. She's an author. She's a community leader. She's a fierce advocate for accessibility and the founder of a nonprofit called Above and Beyond With You. She's also the author of Within My Spokes, a tapestry of pain, growth, and freedom. Folks, this book is outstanding. And today's interview, it's going to challenge you, it's going to encourage you. Maybe even change the way you see others and yourself. Amen. So grab that cup of coffee and get ready because you're about to hear what life looks like from 4'2". Amen. With a heart that stands tall for justice and inclusion and living free. Help me welcome to the program, Jenna Udenberg. Jenna, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pastor Bob. This is going to be awesome.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information you just shared, or I just shared, can you tell us in your own words who is Jenna Udenberg?
That is a deep question to start off with.
So I get it out of the way first.
Right, get it out there. I am a middle-aged woman who lives on the beautiful lake shore of Lake Superior,
Oh,
North Shore of
man.
Minnesota, so in God's country, as we say.
Yeah.
I am born and raised in Two Harbors, which is a small rural community, and went on to become a music educator. Was inspired by my middle school band director to see in young middle schoolers the abilities that they have and to help them get through that really hard time of life. And so most people, when they heard that middle school was my jam and that's what I wanted to teach for choir and band for so many years, 19 to be exact, they're like,
Wow.
"What in the world? You were a different breed." And I said, yes, I am, and that's okay. I coach Lego robotics. I'm starting my 13th season as the lead coach of the
Amen.
Robo Dweebs. So very successful team and program there, and lots of cool life changes in impacting our youth, and that's been really important. I became disabled at age 7 with a diagnosis of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, which they now call either juvenile arthritis or juvenile idiopathic arthritis. I started using a manual wheelchair by age 8, so my disease was very fast acting, lots of orthopedic issues. I think I'm entering into my 17th or 18th orthopedic surgery in the next coming weeks here.
Wow.
Started when I was 15, have 6 different joint replacements, lots of extra surgeries in between to rehab them and revise them. So I kind of live with one foot in a wheelchair and one foot in non-disabled culture, because that's kind of
Yeah.
the demographic I was raised in, but I love disability community and culture. I embrace it when I'm able to be a part of it. It's not as populated in rural areas, but it also is becoming way more of, we're the most diverse minority in the world because anybody can enter our community and culture at any moment by
It's true.
disease
Raise my
or
hand.
by, right? By disease or by accident or situation, right? And it's beautiful. And so I just really I became a 2017 Blandin community leader. And that was an impetus from being a Journey Award winner back in 2016 that an OT and a PT nominated me for because they saw the advocacy and the heart that I have for others, which at that time I didn't see because I was finishing up college and, well, in my career, I was done with college in 20 or 2003. But there's just a lot of trauma and there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of harm that happens to disabled people and to marginalized folks. And so
Amen.
I was always told, "Hey, you need to write a book. Hey, you need to do this work." And I was like, "But I want to teach music. Like, let me do this love and this talent and this gift that I've been given." Then the pandemic happened, and I had to embrace my invisible disability of having an immunocompromised system between the arthritis and diabetes, and then all the medications I take for it. So that was another whirlwind and pivot and changing of career and becoming a published author and being a 2020 Bush Fellow and So yeah, it's just kind of a whirlwind, but
Amen. Amen.
it's all
Well,
good.
you found it above and beyond with you. What was the spark behind that? And how does your organization go beyond raising awareness and turning it into real action and change?
Yeah, great questions. So Above and Beyond With You stands for the fact that the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, that was signed into law in 1990, is just the floor, and we can go to the ceiling. And so often the script is, well, but we meet code, but we checked every box on this checklist. And then some of us wheel in, walk in, ambulate in, traverse in, and we're like, but it doesn't work for me. So it doesn't matter what your checklist says, if it's not functional, if it's not safe, those are issues. So above and beyond
Yeah.
means going above and beyond the code. We're making relationships. We want things to be accessible and safe and functional by using universal design concepts. The With You is a nod to my education background. So little kindergartners, 5-year-olds could not say Gutenberg. Many days I can't, let alone other adults. So all my music
Okay.
kids changed my name to Miss You. So with you, capital U instead of YOU. And our board is 9 members strong, and we are all connected to the education world. So we don't believe that it's just a drop in the hat when people partner with us. The with means we are with you this whole journey. We're all learning about accessibility in all of its different functions and all of its different beauty. And so by making that strong relationship, then we all become better and our communities become better. They become stronger, they become more inclusive, and we meet the needs of the people that are around us. So
Amen.
we're not a
Amen.
checklist. We are humans, and all of us have basic needs, and how can we work
Amen.
together?
Amen. Well, your memoir, Within My Spokes, what was it like writing that? I mean, did putting your life on the page bring up moments that maybe you hadn't fully processed all the way through before?
Absolutely. I'm very thankful that I worked with a self-publishing school and I had a really great coach at the beginning of my journey. And I'm a type A. I know that's probably a shocker as an educator, but she's like, please don't write your book chronologically. Write it when your heart and your spirit are in that part of the story and when you have the capacity to relive those traumatic times. And that was really what was helpful for me. It also helped me learn how to better gauge myself. Like, I'm always good at checking in medically, because when you start at age 7, everybody's like, what's your pain level today? What's your swelling level today? What's your mental acuity at today? Do you have brain fog today? You get really good at assessing the
Yep.
physical things, the medical things. But
Again,
cueing
checking the
in,
box as you go. Yeah.
right? But yeah, cueing into your spiritual side, cueing into your mental health side, cueing into just your energy level. How did I sleep last night? How much caffeine have I had? Right? Like all those important questions. And so it was great because like most of my writing room sessions through Zoom were in the early morning. So it was like kind of like my quiet time. It was, had accountability with trusted people. Some Christians, many not Christians. So it was just a great space knowing that my story needed to approach anybody and everybody, and have that accountability. I know Within My Spokes would not be in existence had it not been for those writing rooms and other trusted authors and now good friends, in the process. I also had a prayer warrior team, that I reached out to during my 2020 Bush Fellowship. And during the writing process, just because I also wanted that kind of accountability, but I also needed that support because reliving childhood trauma of medical situations, of different societal situations, discrimination at every level of my education, it was a lot. But in some ways, it was really good to go back and see all those God stops, to see those times of
Amen.
faithfulness, to see those times of like, I could have given up at all of these different points. I could have given in to XYZ addiction at any of these points. I could have given in to my suicide plan when I was 15. I could have given in to, any of that. And again, using that terminology of given in, it's not anything against those that are struggling in those spaces. Those are just my words for what I was feeling at the time and my words for now that I'm on the other side, still journeying with some of those scars, still, most of the wounds are fully healed, not by my own strength, but by his. But also just being very conscious with my words and the ways that we talk about these things, even if they're in our own stories, there are ways that we can be careful and helpful versus harmful.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. You mentioned this a couple times, so I'll bring it out. Tell us about becoming a Bush Foundation Fellowship member.
Yeah, so after going through Blandin, the Bush Foundation is housed down in the Twin Cities, and they have what they call the Bush Fellowship. And so every year they select 26 to, I think now they're up to 30 potentially. And if you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Minnesota, or the 23 tribal nations in those geographic areas, you're able to apply to be a Bush Fellow. And you can choose to be a 1 year or a 2 year fellow. And when I did it, there was a $50,000 stipend for each year. I think now, with inflation and all the other things going on in the world, they've increased that amount and different criteria. But when I went through it in 2019 for 2020, their tagline is "Think bigger, think differently." And so that really, their initial questions, which anybody can find on their website, even if you don't live in those areas, it's a great process just to go through on your own. But at that time, it was like a four-part application process. So just going through those initial questions were great. Like, who are you? What is your mission statement? What is your purpose? Why are you here? What are the things that you need? And a lot of it is, your own self-discovery, your own self-care, your soul care, getting connected with other people in society and community and the work that you want to do or the work that you did do. For me, when I was planning it, I have never flown an airplane because, as a wheelchair user, 100 wheelchairs are broken every day by the airline industry in America alone. So why would I want to take my $8,000 manual wheelchair and be like, "Here, go break my legs. I don't need them." No.
Exactly.
So when I went through that process, then you go through two different writing sessions at the time, and then you have an option to go through a mentor call. And that mentor was like, "I feel like you're filled with fear." And I was like, "No, I'm just telling you the reality of what it means to fly as somebody who's disabled." And then they had enough chutzpah to say, "Well, I know of somebody who knows of somebody who uses a wheelchair who flies every week for their job, and they've never had an issue." And I was like, "Well, I bet if you actually talked to them and you actually knew them, you'd probably know all the extra steps they have to take to maybe have that be true and or, So again, example of trying to be helpful, but actually was pretty harmful because then I was like, "I just need to stop. I shouldn't keep applying." And I had some really good mentors, and she's like, "That is horrible, and that should have never happened. And they should not talk with you about that. They shouldn't, all the things." And again, it was a volunteer thing, nothing against the Bush Foundation, totally, just a person giving their opinion at a time. But again, thankfully,
Amen.
I knew who I was. I knew what the journey was. And even if it didn't end up in becoming a fellow, I knew that I was learning and becoming a better version of myself. And then it
Amen.
became
Amen.
that. But then that was the biggest pivot because then the world shut down. So all of these plans to travel all around America, to wheel on spaces where Judy Heumann and Ed Roberts and all of the amazing trailblazers that went before me had been, and I wanted to go to Sweden, the most accessible country in the world, then the world shut down, and the world shut down for about 5 years for me. So yeah, very different, very having to pivot, but Emma, blindsight or hindsight is 2020. It was more impactful to me to be at home, to do this hard work, to invest in myself, to become a published author, and then to be able to form Above and Beyond with you during that time, get connected
Amen.
with other local nonprofit leaders that helped me do all the state paperwork and federal paperwork and figure out all the steps. So that's why I love the word tapestry that I was given well before I even began to write within my spokes. And I didn't know what God was doing in that part. I'm like, why do I have this word? It's kind of a weird word. Like, I understand it, but just I'm not an artsy, craftsy creator type in that sense. So why are you
Amen.
giving me
Amen.
tapestry? But it really came to fruition throughout this whole process of We have all these different relationships. And my story, while it is my story, it's also the story of every life that my life has come in contact with. And just like,
Amen.
you know, even now today that we've met, right? Like my strand
Amen.
into your tapestry is a part of who you become and the things that are going to change because of these conversations and the work that we do together. So that just became really powerful and really important to me. And to the point where two of my good friends that I actually use their name in my book tell a couple different stories with them. People have read the book and then they go, Jamie, Megan, I read your book. And they're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, you read Jenna's book that I happened to be in and you knew who I was. And I'm like,
Amen.
that is exactly what I wanted with this. It's not the Jenna show. It's not the Jenna story. Like, yes, I had to have enough courage and enough poking and prodding from the Holy Spirit to finally like do the thing, but
Yeah. Amen.
it's our
And
story.
you've actually, like I say, you've been on the front row in both the struggle and the strength. How do you personally keep pressing forward on days when life feels heavy or progress feels slow?
You know, I've been really blessed in the last couple of years to be given some really strong friendships and relationships and a really strong sisterhood of people that I can trust. And, you know, let's be honest, when days are hard, sometimes you have to give yourself a timeout. Sometimes you just got to say, I just got to give myself a nap. Like, this is just not working. It's not worth it. So I try to practice having grace for self, which again, as a type A, is really hard because in our American society is you're not working, you know, 26 hours a day, you're not working. You're
That's right.
not worthy. You're not all these things. And it's like, no, those are all lies, and that's not okay. And then also as a disabled person who grew up in non-disabled culture, it was like I always felt like I had to be superwoman. I had to be this big, overly inspirational person. I had to put the permigrin smile on, like, no, I'm not in pain today. And I'm lying through my teeth, you know, and have to work 8 times harder than anyone else. And it's like, no, I don't have to be. I have value and worth given by him, whether I get out of bed today or whether I stay in bed today, whether I change the world by having a podcast with someone or I change the world by making myself dinner, right? Like, so that's just kind of the really important myth breaking, script breaking, turning the world on its head, making, you know, like you said in the intro, trying to make everybody think, including myself. But then there are days where I'm like, can I stop thinking? Can I stop talking? Can I stop hearing my own voice? I just want quiet. So going to my friend's farm and being in my garden that's accessible thanks to some of my fellowship funds. And that kind of stuff, just finding those spaces where you can just be you and connect
Amen.
and let go of stuff. I think letting go is the
Amen.
hardest thing in our current society.
Amen. Amen. You told us a little bit about robo dweebs. I mean, and I love that because my brother he's in Michigan. He's been doing that for years with them as well. How has
Nice.
working with, the Lego robotics team shaped basically the way you see young people and what they're capable of?
Yeah. You know, I love the first program. I love that they have core values as part of the four areas where the kids are judged on. And I love watching a team of strangers, sometimes of misfits, sometimes of, you know, like kids that just don't really know who they are or what they're about or what they're interested in, or they have no idea what their future is going to hold. And after a year or 3 years or 4 years on the team, you know, you watch that personhood come out. You watch that autonomy. You watch that identity getting formed and polished and changed. And we have a great program up here called Age to Age, where it's intergenerational. And so we've had a very strong connection with a local foundation who provides that funding. And so we started a program called Lego Sets Across Generations. And so it's awesome to use that grant money to go and buy Lego sets that the kids pick out that they think would be fun to create, you know, build together with our elders and our older adults in our community. And it's so funny because so many people are like, old. I don't play Legos. And then we show them the pictures or whatever. They're like, I could build a Corvette. And there's kids to help me because my fingers are like yours and they're arthritic and they're, whatever. And it's like, yeah. And then you get to have conversations with these kids and like tell them your life story if you want to. You don't have to, but I mean, I would say that's one of the highlights of my 13-year career as a
Amen.
coach. But it really, breaking down the barriers so the adults in the larger community see that teenagers and preteens aren't scary.
Yeah, amen.
Usually.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Which, so can we if we're honest, right? We just have ways of covering it up and packaging it in a different way.
We have more practice
Right.
now.
Of sneaking it in when we need
Yeah.
to or can. Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. Praise God. Well, for someone listening right now who may feel overlooked or stuck because of their limitations, what would you say to help them take their next step?
Yeah. Break. It's the best place to start. And not be afraid to ask for help. Not be afraid to share the beginning of your story or the part of your story that you feel safe in sharing. And I would say communication is so key. And sometimes people other us because they don't know. And it's so widely accepted to other people to put labels on people and then just be like, oh, you're disabled, or oh, you're older, or oh, you're blind, or oh, you're dot dot dot, right? And yet, like, hi, I'm Jenna, and yes, I'm in a chair, and yes, my chair does define me, and I'm cool with that because I've been in this thing for 38 years. So, it's a part of my identity. I'm a proud disabled woman. And so, and it's not the yucky definition of pride, but it's the I am not the person under the table getting your scraps. I am not all these things that, no offense, but a lot of the Christianese folks read in the Old Testament and they want to leave us there. And during the pandemic, my biggest thing, I think it's Mark 4:2, Mark 2:4. I always get my addresses backwards and forwards, but the story of how friends opened the roof and they let down the mat of their disabled friend in front of Jesus. And so those, few amazing sisters in Christ that were there when the capital C church was not, they're the ride or dies, right? They're the ones that did all those things. And so I would say to those that are listening and maybe don't have that, pray for that. Pray for, the ability to have those relationships. And then in the flip side, in order to be a friend, or in order to have a friend, you have to be a friend. How can you, no matter what space you find yourself in, how can you be that person that's
Yeah.
opening up that roof? How can you
Amen.
bring those people in front of Jesus? Because he's the only one that has changed my life completely and fully. And so,
Amen.
and on the flip side, if people have been hurt by the church, I would lovingly remind them that the church is made up of broken and fallen and hurting people. And those hurts are not from the Savior. And so even though it's super hard, been there many, many times, I'm very thankful that that truth has stayed true to me in all those dark times.
Amen. Amen. Well, how can people connect with you or your mission, pick up your book, support the work of Above and Beyond with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, best way is to go to Above and Beyond with you, just the letter u.org. You can find links to purchase the book. You can find it anywhere you purchase your books, especially on Amazon, but there's a link on our website. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, you can also find Above and Beyond with you there. So lots
Amen.
of ways to connect, lots of ways
Amen.
to work with us. We love to consult and train and help others and share stories and also reach out if you have a story of disability. And you're, willing to share that, and we can amplify and lift up everybody's voice.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes below. Praise God.
Awesome.
Folks, man, what a powerful conversation. I don't know about you, but I'm walking away from this one really with a deeper understanding and appreciation of what it really means to live above and beyond. I mean, Jenna reminded us that, Accessibility isn't about checklists, like she said. It's about people. And disability, that's not a bad word. It's part of a really, if you want to look at it, a beautiful, purpose-filled story. Amen. In her own words, she stirred something in your heart today. I mean, go visit Above and Beyond with you, just the letter U.org. Grab her memoir, Within My Spokes. Consider supporting the amazing work that she's doing right now. I mean, this is so good. Jenna, I want to thank you again for taking the time to come on the program today and share all this with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation.
Amen. Until next time, folks, this is Pastor Bob, along with Jenna Udenberg, reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.